Thank you. gather in the Lord's house this day to bask in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful way to begin our time of worship this morning. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Bert, for our prelude this day. Thank you for joining us for worship on this final Sunday in the month of June. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day, and we are excited to see how the Spirit is going to move in this place today. If you are joining us for the first time for worship here at First Baptist Elon, thank you for joining us. If you have a chance, fill out one of the visitor's cards that's in your pew this morning, and then as you leave worship this morning, you can drop that off in the offering plate as you leave today so we can have record of your visit, and I'll follow up with you this week just to say thank you for joining us for worship. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. If this is your first time joining us online, send me an email this week. I want to check in with you, and just thank you for worshiping with us via our Facebook Live feed this morning. Also, if you are watching us online, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our worship this morning, but also for the ministries coming up in the life of our church and for those that are worshiping with us in our sanctuary today. Some of those things that I want to point out to you this morning. Tonight, our youth will be meeting at 5 o'clock 5 o'clock for intensity. So youth, reminder about that. Bring some friends tonight at 5 p.m. We'll be having pizza for dinner, watching a movie. So come hang out with us tonight at 5 p.m. in the youth room. Starting tomorrow, just a reminder to our entire congregation, Abundant Life Ministry will start meeting here at First Baptist Elon. Be in prayer for this ministry that'll be taking place this year at First Baptist. They'll be meeting upstairs in the fellowship hall starting around 8:30. It'll be from 8:30 to about 3:30 each day. So if you're coming by and you need to stop by the church, make sure you stop down below. Come down to our office downstairs. If you need to come by the fellowship hall, you can still get by and pick up things you need. But remember, they'll be there from 8:30 to 3:30, and be in prayer for them as they begin their meeting time here at First Baptist Elon this week. Tuesday night, we will continue our online Bible study, our Facebook Live, on Facebook Live at 6:30 p.m. We've been looking at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians this summer. That will continue this Tuesday night. This Tuesday, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I apologize. I had to cancel this past week's meeting. I was feeling a little under the weather on Tuesday, so we'll be picking up where I left off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this week. The title of this session is Children of the Light. How are we called to be children of the light? And Paul talks about this in his letter to the Thessalonians. So join me tonight, Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live for that time of meeting. You've heard me talk about over the last couple weeks, our mission collections during the month of July, and also our new collection during the month of August. Just a reminder about that. During the month of July, we've been collecting items for our FBC Elon food pantry. Thank you for those who have already brought items for our food pantry. We have been giving away boxes over the last couple weeks. Sharing with our prayer group this morning during Root of Prayer time, there's a message on the answer machine, a person asking for food that I'll be following up with tomorrow and be giving food away tomorrow as well. So thank you for your donation. If you have items that you still want to bring for the food pantry, please bring it sometime this week. We will make sure it gets where it needs to go. That's our July collection. And then our August collection that I shared last week, we are collecting school supplies for the Chamber of Commerce's collection for our students who will be going back to school in just a few weeks. Now, we called this our August collection. However, the collection will actually end on August 9th. That's a Wednesday. That's not too far away. August 9th is just a week and a half away, actually, and we want to make sure we get these items to the Alamance Chamber of Commerce in time that it gets to the students in our community. So if you can pick up items for for that collection, the items needed are listed on your bulletin this morning. They're also found in your August newsletter. Pick up some of those items, bring them next Sunday. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday we're collecting them, but you can still bring them by Wednesday, August 9th. That'll be the deadline to bring items so we can make sure we get those to the Chamber of Commerce in time. So thank you in advance for your generosity in helping out with that ministry. Also, thank you for your generosity in supporting Carson and Laura Fushi and the love offering. You will notice in your bulletin this morning that we raised over $1,300 that we were able to give them last Sunday evening. They were overwhelmed with the generosity and the love that we showed them through the love offering. Thank you for your support and your continued prayer for them as they continue to spread God's love in Japan. And also, thank you for your support of Camp Greenleaves throughout this summertime. We've collected snacks and drinks, and Liz had a message that didn't get in the newsletter, but it's in the bulletin. So read that message on the back of your bulletin this morning. She just wanted to say thank you, and thank you for your love you showed Camp Greenleaves this summer. They had a wonderful summer out at camp, and she just wanted to say thank you on behalf of Camp Greenleaves. We've come to worship and sing praise to the Lord this morning. May we lift up praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day.
Well, good morning. Our first hymn this morning is Fairest Lord Jesus. Let's stand and worship together. So
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 105. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11 and the last part of verse 45. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory is in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever. The word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac, He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. Praise the Lord. The covenant that was made with our forefathers is the same covenant He made with us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And for that, we can go to Him in prayer this morning, giving thanks and praise to Him for that eternal covenant. Let us pray this morning. Lord our God, where is there another God like You, a God of justice and unfailing love, who stands by every promise made to His people generation after generation? There is no other. You alone are God. And so we gather together to worship You this day, to give You thanks, to proclaim Your greatness, to sing Your praise, to seek Your face, and to celebrate Your faithful presence with us. We pray that Your Spirit would guide and inspire our worship this day. Open our mouths to sing and speak Your praise. Open our ears to hear Your word. Open our eyes to see You at work among us. Open our hearts to receive Your love. We offer ourselves to You in worship this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is God of Grace and God of Glory. Let's worship.
Thank you.
for our ministry highlight today, our continuing celebration of our 75th year in ministry carries into the month of August as we welcome next Sunday, August 6th, the Director of Missions of the Mount Zion Baptist Association, Reverend Gary Gates. Our church has had a long history of support and partnership with the Mount Zion Baptist Association, stretching back all the way to 1957. During that time, we have partnered with Mount Zion to do mission work in Alamance County, in the state of North Carolina, in the United States, and across this world. As a reaffirmation of our partnership with Mount Zion, we are excited to welcome Reverend Gary Gates to the pulpit next Sunday morning. Now, many of us have known Gary for many years, and next Sunday will be an exciting Sunday as we welcome him back to First Baptist Elon. I hope you will join us for worship next Sunday morning. I encourage you to invite a friend and come ready to worship the Lord as Gary brings the word next Sunday. Now, at this time, I'll call on Deacon Leslie Cornell for our offertory prayer.
Please join me in prayer. Everlasting Father, thank you that you are the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. Your word says that the earth is yours and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to you. We recognize everything we have belongs to you. We acknowledge that our very lives belong to you. We now offer back to you a portion of what you have given us. May God the Father prepare our journey, Jesus the Son guide our footsteps, and the Holy Spirit watch over us on every path that we follow. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we encounter His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, You granted Solomon's request for an understanding mind and the knowledge to discern good from evil. Fill us with such understanding and knowledge this day that we may act as instruments of Your loving desire for creation, working with You to transform our conceit into concern for others, our fear into love, our violence into peace, and our brokenness into wholeness. We pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I will confess something to you this morning. Shared this with a few early this morning as we arrived at church. I am going on about 2 hours of sleep. There are some nights, some Saturday nights especially, before a Sunday that I will go to sleep at a decent hour, and I just cannot find rest. And I don't know if it's just my body and my mind working too hard or struggling to find that time of peace and rest that you need, but at about 2 o'clock this morning, as I was still staring at the clock, I said, well, this is not good. This is not good. So I got up and went to the couch and decided maybe I just needed to change locations. Laid down on the couch and watched the clock till about 4 o'clock. And about that time, I said, this really is not good. And then the next thing I know, at 6 o'clock, I was awake. I think the Spirit was talking to me last night. And all I could think about was my sermon. And I will say, at about 2:30, I did get up and read the sermon. And I made some changes to the sermon at 2:30. And that's dangerous, by the way. Making changes in the middle of the night, jotting things down. I didn't have my glasses. So, it's a dangerous thing. But I think the Spirit was speaking. And I hope He speaks to you this day. I hope that you had a chance to be with us last Sunday. And if you did not, I encourage you to go to our Facebook page and watch the worship service from last Sunday. It was a blessing. It was a worshipful experience as we had Carson and Laura Fushi, CBF missionaries to Japan. They were with us, the entire worship experience. Not just Carson and Laura, but Jesse singing. It was a wonderful experience of worship. If you did not have a chance, I encourage you to go and find some time this week to watch that worship service. Don't do it now. Don't pull your phone out and watch it now instead of listening to my sermon. If you're watching this online, don't do that. Just wait till after the service is over. And we look forward to having Gary Gates next Sunday. And then in a couple weeks, Justin Mofield, oldest son of our former pastor, Reverend Mark Mofield, will be with us on August 20th. Justin is a student at the Divinity School at Gardner-Webb University. He's also on staff at First Baptist Forest City. He will be with us, coming to bring God's Word from the pulpit. Also, Mark's younger son, Noah, who is a senior at Furman University, a music major, will be coming to share the special music that Sunday as well. It will be a special Sunday. So I encourage you to come on that Sunday as well as we continue to celebrate 75 years here at First Baptist. Julia Allison asked me a couple weeks ago, I guess it was a week and a half ago, she said, do you ever get nervous when you preach a sermon? And I thought, that's a powerful question. That's a deep question. That's not a simple yes or no question. Do I ever get nervous on preaching a sermon? And I honestly answered her, I used to. I used to get nervous in preaching a sermon, but rarely do I get nervous anymore because I really feel that God inspires and speaks through the words that I share. And so I don't get nervous, but the inspiration that God provides for the sermons that come from a variety of different places. She said, where do you come up with your ideas? And I said, oh, that comes from all different places. Sometimes it's the lectionary passage for the day, and I'm like, wow, I know what I can preach there, or I may be on a vacation and I see something, and I'm like, I can preach on that, or I may come across a scripture passage that I hear during the day. So today, the inspiration, part of the inspiration, came from a trip my family took to Asheville a couple months ago during the holidays. We walked through some of the shops down in Asheville. If you've ever been to Asheville, a great little town. They have nice little unique different shops there. And we walked into this one store and they had all different kinds of stuff. And there was a bumper sticker. And you may have seen this bumper sticker on a car before. And it said this: I took an IQ test and the results were negative. I took an IQ test and the results were negative. Sometimes highly intelligent people can get very negative results on their IQ tests. For instance, people are paid a lot of money to write some of the things that appear on packages and products that we buy. I've shared some of these in the past. Here are a few more that I came across. The following warning appeared on a clothes iron, an iron that would close: do not iron clothes that are on your body. A bottle of children's cough medicine said this: do not drive a car or operate machinery after use. Well, I hope a child is not driving a car or operating machinery after they use that. And then a bottle of Nitol, which is supposed to help you sleep, said this: warning, may cause drowsiness. Well, I hope so. I actually needed some Nitol last night. They actually pay people a lot of money to come up with this stuff. And there is a name for these kind of individuals. And the name is sophomore. That's right, sophomore. Now, excluding any second-year high school students and any second-year college students in our sanctuary this morning, this is the description of what I'm talking about. So you see, sophomore comes from the two Greek words put together, the first word being sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, which means wise. And then the second word, moros, M-O-R-O-S. Now, moros is where we get the word moron in English. And you put them together, and it means wise fool. A sophomore is a person who has just enough knowledge to be dangerous. A wise fool. They do not have enough education to realize how much they do not know. Now, our focal biblical character this morning falls in this category of being a sophomore. Solomon was literally a wise fool. He was the wisest man on earth, but failed to realize he did not know it all. Now, when I think of Solomon, I ask the question to myself, how can a smart person be so dumb? How can a smart person like Solomon be so foolish? So in thinking about Solomon this morning, we might wonder if he was actually too smart for his own good, because as wise as Solomon was, he made several serious mistakes. And I think we can learn from those mistakes this morning. The very first mistake that we're going to look at, and even before we get to our focal passage this morning, is this. Solomon started off well, but he did not finish well. That's mistake number one. He started off well, but he did not finish well. Now, we have all seen the runners who burst into the lead in a race and then did not have the stamina to finish the race. The world is filled with people voted most likely to succeed who crashed and burned shortly after takeoff from school. Many people are good at starting things, but not good at finishing the things. The Bible talks about the importance of finishing well. Jesus says in Matthew 24, he who stands first to the end will be saved. At the end of his life, the Apostle Paul was able to say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Solomon was not one of these individuals. So let's look at Solomon this morning, the wise fool. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. This is at the beginning of Solomon's reign as king over Israel, a story that we are probably pretty familiar with, a dream with a choice. Solomon was given a choice by God, and he chose wisely. However, this choice is one that fades towards the end of his reign. Reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, the words are on the screen behind me as well. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to marry his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace in the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. So here he is, Solomon, in the beginning. God visited him in a dream and told him to ask for anything that his heart desired, and it would be his. What would you have asked for? Well, he didn't ask us. He asked Solomon. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for fame, but instead he asked the Lord for wisdom to rule his people. He wanted to be a good king, just like his father. And because Solomon's request pleased the Lord, he not only gave him great wisdom, but he also gave him riches and fame as well. He got everything that he could have possibly wanted. We are told that Solomon wrote the bulk of the book of Proverbs, one of the wisdom writings that is found in the Old Testament. He also wrote Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and parts of the book of Psalms. He had a lot to say about how to live wisely, but he failed to follow his own advice. When he wrote Proverbs, he said this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Solomon stopped fearing the Lord, and he despised discipline. He became a sophomore. He became a wise fool. Solomon's wisdom is best illustrated in the famous story of the two prostitutes. We probably know the story. These women lived together. Both had newborn infants. They slept with their infants by their side, but during the night, one rolled on top of their baby and smothered the child. When she awoke, she saw that her child was dead, and she switched the live child with the dead child. Both came to Solomon claiming that the live child was their own. Today, we would simply solve it by a DNA swab, right? They didn't do it back then. Back in the day, Solomon's wisdom is what solved it. He paused before calling for a sword. He calls to have the child split in half, with each mother getting half of the child. Now, the real mother cries out, "Please, Lord, give her the living child. Give her the living baby. Don't kill him." The other says, "Cut him in two." Solomon knows who the real mother is by the response, returns the child to the rightful mother, the one that would not allow the child to be killed. As we said earlier, Solomon started out very well. He started out wise, but he did not finish well. One of the nights that I could not sleep was flipping through the channel. I landed on the National Geographic channel. And they were talking about the Alaskan bull moose. The males of the Alaskan bull moose, the species, go head to head during mating season, battling for dominance and the right to the females of the herd. Sometimes their antlers, their only weapons, get broken in the fray. When that happens, defeat is imminent for that moose. It is the biggest moose with the strongest antlers who wins. What many people, however, do not realize is that the bulls lose their antlers every year, and they have to grow new ones during the summertime. So the battle fought in the fall is actually won during the spring and the summertime when the moose are feeding. The bull that consumes the most food and the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the strongest when the fall comes. Those that get lazy at foraging for food do not get the proper nutrition and are not prepared for the battles ahead. The same is true for you and me when it comes to our faith. The spiritual battles that lie ahead of us may be lost because of the poor preparation that we are doing right now or have been doing in the past, and the lack of consumption of the proper spiritual food that we need. We do not end well because we do not propel well. We may end poorly, just like Solomon did. Endurance is best developed before it is even needed. The athlete who does not prepare well will not finish well. The Christian who does not prepare well will not finish well. The secret of endurance is careful preparation. Go back to the basics and go over them until you have them down. Solomon got involved in the spectacular and forgot the basics of faith. He concentrated on form and forgot about substance. He was more serious about developing his wisdom than relying on God's wisdom and developing his relationship with God. Initially, he built a magnificent temple for the Lord, but then he built an even more magnificent palace for himself. And not long after that, he built an elaborate quarter for his wives, all 700 of them, and the 300 concubines as well. You see, Solomon started out worshiping the Lord alone, but it was not long until he was worshiping all the pagan gods of surrounding nations as well. Instead of influencing the nation for the one and only God, he was seduced by all the other gods of the people around him. He began with a heart that was tender toward God and ended with a heart alienated from God. The reason Solomon finished so poorly was because of his second mistake. You see, Solomon was a spiritual minimalist. You know, this may sound a little backwards because Solomon had so much. How in the world could Solomon be a minimalist? He just did not get it when it came to his faith. He stopped growing in Christ. Someone said of a person they knew, when it comes to living for God, they would stop at nothing. This was not Solomon. When it came to the things of God, Solomon did the least he could to get by. And as time went by, he did less and less and less until he did absolutely nothing. He stopped, period. Think of it this way. If you were a C student in high school, you knew exactly what you had to do to pass a course. You may not have been interested in what was being taught. You could have cared less about getting an A for excellence. Even doing above average was too much effort for you at the time. You just wanted that C. You just wanted to pass. Maybe your parents would try to do everything they possibly could do to motivate you, but nothing would work. You were an academic minimalist. You did the minimal amount of work in order to get by. Unfortunately, many people are spiritual minimalists today. They meet the minimum requirements, and they leave it to other people to achieve excellence. There is only one problem with this. You see, after a while, a little becomes absolutely nothing. 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 It becomes nothing. So some of you may be experiencing a little of this right now. You've maybe taken a step back spiritually. You've taken a little break from God. For a short time, he becomes maybe not first place, but he becomes second place. But a short time turns into a little bit longer time. And second place turns into third place. Then third turns into last place. Eventually, you forget about your relationship with God altogether. And in the end, he who does the least gets lost. Many people do not realize that Solomon's original given name was not Solomon. It was Jedidiah, meaning loved of the Lord. The name was given to him by Nathan the prophet, who was responsible for Solomon's spiritual education. But Solomon was seduced into worshiping the gods of Baal and Molech, the gods of the heathen nations around him. At first, he merely tolerated the worship of these gods by his foreign wives, but eventually he imitated their evil practices and embraced their gods. 1 Kings says, as Solomon grew, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God. You see, he did not stop worshiping the Lord. He didn't stop. And he didn't stop offering sacrifices at the special feasts, but his heart had been compromised, and he began to turn away from the Lord more and more, until the Lord said to him, since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you. You see, in the beginning, he would only worship the Lord, but then he lost sight of God, and God lost sight of him. He worshiped the Lord less and less, and he lost his way. It's not an accident that Solomon authored the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible's existential book of despair. If you have some time this week, I encourage you to dive into that book. It's an interesting read, but what you do read there is words of a person who's searching for hope, who's searching for despair, and what you're reading is Solomon's search for truth. He knew where the truth was. He speaks about the truth a little bit, but what he realizes is this: he did not follow what God desired for him, and for that, he was punished. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. It is my experience that if Jesus Christ does not have first place in your life, he has no place. If he has slipped to second in your life, it will not be long until he is third place and eventually last place, no place at all. We need to reawaken to the fact that the Christian life is an all or nothing affair. Christianity is not a trivial pursuit. It is not a ritual to be performed. It is a life to be lived every single day, not just 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Because we can live it well at 11 o'clock. But what about 12:01? Or 12:05, depending how long the sermon goes. As the church, we must be the salt and light in the world. We need to lean on God's wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. We need to keep our love for God undivided and unspoiled. Do not let the world distract you from keeping our priorities in order. Christ first. We are not so much doing bad things as we are doing just other things. When the church starts being the church, then the world will be changed by its witness and spirit-filled presence. The third and final mistake that Solomon made was that he allowed his strength to become his weakness. His strength was his wisdom. It was a gift from God, but it quickly became his weakness. He started thinking instead of praying. He was so impressed with his intelligence that he started questioning everything instead of simply believing. He valued arguing over understanding. He confesses this even in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Then I appalled myself to the understanding of wisdom and also madness and folly, but I learned that this too is chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. You see, he wanted to investigate every area of knowledge, but it did not lead to understanding. It only led to confusion. Solomon began to trust the gift that he was given by God rather than the giver himself. I think we can fall in that category too. Thank you, God, for giving me the ability to do so-and-so. Thank you for so-and-so. I'm so glad I can do so-and-so. Man, isn't it wonderful that I can do so-and-so. Look at me do so-and-so. And all of a sudden, God is gone. The thank you is gone. Solomon thought he was the exception to the rule. Old Testament law prohibited the king from multiplying three things, written in Deuteronomy. Three things: wives, horses, and gold. Solomon broke all three. He had numerous wives. Many were daughters of neighboring kings to create political allies, relying on them rather than God. He strengthened his army through the addition of horses and chariots, relying on his army rather than God. Solomon amassed great wealth through trade, relying on gold to create stability rather than God. Solomon thought he was too smart to fail. However, his wives weakened his love for God, his horses weakened his dependence on God, and his gold weakened his desire for spiritual wealth. And Solomon became a sophomore. He became a wise fool. In closing, our weaknesses are the exaggeration of our strengths. If you are a laid-back, even-tempered person who never gets upset, it can be a tremendous strength. But carried too far, you may not get anything done or fail to stand up for someone when they really need you. Maybe you are a go-getter. Your strength is you get more done in a day than most accomplish in a week. It is a great strength, but if it goes too far, you may become overcommitted, neglecting those things that are most important: family, friends, and most important, God. Whatever your strength might be, do not let it become your weakness like Solomon did. Do not take it too far. Do not forget your dependence on God. Do not forget the one who gave it to you. Robert Fulghum reminds us that real wisdom is found in the simple lessons of life. He wrote in the Kansas City Times some years back, "Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at kindergarten. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go into the world, hold hands and stick together." I might add to Fulghum's list this morning, listen for that still small voice, because he's speaking to you. We have the tendency to make life a little too complicated. What if Solomon had taken Robert Fulghum's words of advice and applied them to his life? I'm quite sure that he would not have become a sophomore. Maybe he would have stayed a freshman. Maybe he would have jumped over and became a junior or a senior. Maybe he would have graduated as a wise leader for the nation of Israel. But instead, he chose to be a wise fool. You have the choice for yourself this morning. What do you choose to be? His choice is yours. It's not mine. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing the lessons that we can learn from others' mistakes. And Solomon did some wonderfully great things through the wisdom that you blessed him with, but he made mistakes, and we can learn from those as well. Father, we just ask that as we walk this life of yours, the wisdom that you grant us, we know it came from you. May we turn to you, the one that is the giver, the one that provides us with the love and support we need daily. May we turn to you, and may we not be that wise fool who just focuses on themselves or quickly loses their way because they get distracted by the world's standards. Father, we pray that as we come to this time of commitment, this time of decision, that you've moved us in a way that we weren't expecting, that the Spirit is moving in us as we pray and as we sing in just a moment. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn this morning, whatever the God has been speaking to you this day, maybe it's through the Spirit telling you that you need to turn your life over to the one that has given you everything, that's given you his Son, Jesus the Christ. If that's your decision today, I'll be down front. Or maybe today is the day that you're looking for a church body that's seeking to honor God through their service and understanding the gifts that God has blessed us with. Maybe First Baptist Elon's at home. I'll be down front to talk to you about what it means to be a part of this family. Or last but not least, maybe just God's speaking to you. The altar is always open. It's his altar. Or you can just pray in your pew. I'll be willing to pray with you as well. Whatever the decision is today, make it today. Don't put it off. Let's stand and sing this morning. As you leave this place today, go out knowing that the world needs a lot of wise individuals. Wisdom granted by God, and he has blessed you with that gift this morning. Remember who gave it to you and share it with the world. Go in peace.